Okay, thank you all for coming. Sorry for the last minute change of time for today's shiur, but I guess it helps those in Eretz Yisrael. But we're gonna, as always, start with two questions, and then you'll choose using the chat feature which question you would like to speak about. So, two questions that came up this week. I got a text this morning from somebody who said the following: a woman was traveling with her children, and she had eaten a fleishig lunch, and she has a minhag to wait 6 hours after eating fleishig before eating any milchig, and she had her baby with her, and she had a milk bottle for the baby that she wanted to bring on the plane. And as she was going through security said, well, you know, you can't bring liquids on the plane because we're choshesh. I don't think these were choshesh. We're concerned that who knows what's in that liquid. So, but we understand that it's a baby and the baby needs his milk. So you can only bring it on the plane if you taste the milk in front of us, so that we see that it's not a poison or anything like that, that there's nothing dangerous in there. So the woman was told she can only bring the bottle on the plane for her baby if she tastes the milk. Problem is, she just had a fleishig lunch and she's still within 6 hours of eating fleishigs. Now, she does. If she doesn't taste it, she's going to have to spill out the bottle, and she doesn't have another one for the baby. I'm sure the baby won't starve to death, but still, she doesn't have another bottle for the baby in case the baby starts getting fussy on the plane. So that is Shaila number one. Is she allowed to drink a little bit of the milk from her baby's bottle in order to get past security, even though she's within 6 hours of having eaten a fleishig lunch? Shaila number two. One of the Rabbanim, one of my friends who was a Rav, sent a voice note that he had gotten from someone in his shul, and the voice note essentially said that they offer in a certain spa that this person was looking into going to, they offer as a skin treatment a bath in a wine barrel, that a person bathes in wine and that somehow will do something for their skin. And the assumption is that it's not kosher wine. So the person wants to know, are you allowed to bathe in the wine? Apparently they also typically drink wine while also bathing in wine. Not the same wine. They have a separate glass of wine that they're drinking while bathing in the wine to add to the experience. And the spa allows them to bring kosher wine to drink, but the wine that you bathe in is not kosher wine. So the wine that you bathe in is just whatever wine the spa has. So the person wants to know, first of all, is this a violation of an Isser Hana'a of some sort from Stam Yenam? And is there a chashash that the person might come to drink the wine? Because when you're bathing in it, you might accidentally sip a little bit of the wine. I had never heard of this, but I Googled it, and apparently such a thing unbelievably does actually exist, that people could bathe in wine. I'm sure this is coming to a Pesach program near you, and and this will be available, and you'll have the most kosher wine with all the frumos hashkachas that you can bathe in. But for now, Nebuch, we have to bathe in non-kosher wine if one is interested in doing such a thing. So that is the shaila. So let's take the vote whether we want shaila number one or shaila number two. So far, it's a tie. So your vote really counts over here. Okay, shaila one. Anyone else? Shaila one. Okay, it looks like we have a winner. Okay. All right, well, there'll be another time, I guess, to discuss shaila number two. We'll have to figure it out. So let's talk about tasting the baby's bottle. So the truth is, it's really not a complicated shaila. It's a simple shaila, but it's always good to chazer over some of the inyanim that this relates to. And that is obviously the entire issue of waiting 6 hours or waiting X amount of time, whatever that amount of time might be, between milchigs and fleishigs. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin on Daf Kuf Dalet Days going over to Kofei Meralev tells us that Tana Igra Chamud Rabbi Abba Of Ugvina Ne'echolin Ba'apikoren, that Of and Gvina could be eaten Ba'apikoren, meaning that you're allowed to eat chicken and then immediately eat cheese. Apikoren means like in a hefker way, even without washing your mouth out. And then the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yitzchak ate cheese and then ate meat without washing his hands. And the Gemara asks from Igra, because Igra taught that you're allowed to eat chicken and then cheese without washing your hands, but you're not allowed to eat meat and then cheese. And the Gemara says, now, during daylight hours, even meat is permitted, because you can check your hands to see if there's any grease on your hands, any remnants of the food on your hands. So the Gemara seems to assume, generally, that you need to do something in between in order to eat the other item, from one to the other, from meat to cheese or cheese to meat, that you actually need to do something in between. However, there is another Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Hey Amr Aleph. The Gemara continues that Amr of Chista, Achal Basar Asar Lechol Gvina. If you've eaten meat, you cannot eat cheese. Gvina, Mutal Lechol Basar. But if you ate cheese, you're allowed to eat meat. And then the Gemara tells us a famous line, I think, that Amr Mar Ukva, Ana Baha Milsa Chala Bar Chamra Lagabe Abba. As far as this matter is concerned, I am like vinegar, the son of wine, compared to my father. I am a nobody compared to my father. Because my dad, when he would eat meat today, he wouldn't eat cheese until 24 hours later. But I just won't eat it during the same meal. I'll eat it in the next meal. If I have a meat lunch, I'll have a milch dinner, and I'll have no problem with that. So the Rishonim try to make heads or tails of this. How do we interpret these two Gemaras? What exactly are the rules? So some Rishonim assume that there are options as to what needs to be done in between. Either you can wait, or you can clean your mouth out. Other Rishonim say, no, the difference is, did you eat the milchik first, or do you eat the fleishik first? Do you have to wait between eating milchik and fleishik? Maybe when you eat milchik first, all you need is kinuach vadacha, you only need to rinse out. But if you eat fleishik first, then maybe you need time. So Tosos is bothered by the Gemara's question. Tosos in Kuf Dalet and Beis Zibra Maskul Ov says, I don't understand. Tema, dehechi parach mikvina achar basar, basar achar gvina. How can the Gemara compare the two? The Gemara is asking on a case of eating meat after cheese from a case of eating cheese after meat. So why is the Gemara asking from Igra and Rav Yitzchak when they're not even talking about the same case? Rav Yitzchak ate cheese and then meat, and we infer from Igra that you're allowed to eat chicken and then cheese. But you're not allowed to eat meat. So we infer from him that you're not allowed to eat meat and then cheese. But that wasn't the case. The case was cheese then meat. So Tosfos gives two answers. Number one, he says, V'yishlam v'dachi parach, debraisa d'igra mashma ofu gvina ne'achol n'bapikorin belina til sedayimu belokinu achapeh avl sharbas that Igra taught that you're allowed to eat chicken and then cheese without washing your hands and mouth, but meat and cheese, you would need kinuach v'adachi, you need to wash up. But when do you need to wash your hands? He couldn't have been talking about a situation that you first ate meat and now want to eat dairy, because washing your hands and mouth isn't enough if you first ate meat and then want to eat dairy. You're going to have to wait for that. That Marukva said he had to wait till the next meal. So must be that Igor was talking about a case where you ate cheese and now you want to eat meat. And in order to eat the meat, you need to first wash your hands and mouth. So now you understand the kasha on Rav Yitzchak. How did Rav Yitzchak eat meat after cheese without washing his hands? We learn from Igra that you need to wash your hands. So the Gemara says Rav Yitzchak was eating in the daylight hours and therefore it wasn't necessary to wash his hands. He was able to just look at his hands. That's one mahalich in Tosos. Then Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, where Rabbeinu Tam explains that a person who eats meat is allowed to immediately eat milchigs, as long as he washes out his mouth and rinses his hands. And the Gemara that says, achal basar, asu lechol gvina, is talking about where you didn't wash up. Mar Ukva said, I would wait till the next meal, that means when he didn't wash up. But if he would wash up, it's not necessary to wait till the next meal. Wow, so Rabbeinu Tam is telling us that if after eating meat, you either wash your hands and mouth, or you just wait for the next suuda, that's good enough. But if you eat dairy products, you can eat meat right away, even without rinsing your mouth out. So the Gemara assumes that Igra, who required washing hands in between the eating of meat and then cheese, also requires washing hands in between eating cheese and then meat. The only difference between meat first and cheese first is whether you also need to wash up. So the Gemara asks on Rav Yitzchak, how did he eat meat right after cheese without first washing up? And the Gemara says, during the daytime, washing up is not so critical. So, okay, that was a lot of words. So what did we just say? So let's quickly summarize what we just said. Essentially, we have the following machlokas. According to the first answer of Tosos, you're not allowed to eat meat and then cheese right after that, because that's what Baruch Hu said. You got to wait until the next meal. However, according to Rabbeinu Tam, yes, you can, as long as you rinse off, as long as you rinse your mouth out and you wash your hands. There's no minimum waiting period. Ooh, so how do we paskin? So the Rambam seems to paskin like neither, right? The Rambam writes, and truth is, Rov Rishonim assume like the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Macholos Asuros that someone who ate basar b'tchila, bein basar behema, bein basar of, lo yochal achrav chalav at sheyisha b'nein kidei shir su'ud acheres. That you always need to wait a full meal, the amount of time that it would take to get you to the next meal. Vuhu, and famous words of the Rambam, kimo shei sha'os. That is something like 6 hours. And that's always the question. What did the Rambam mean by that? Like, it's like 6 hours. Is it 6 hours? Is it not 6 hours? And the Rambam explains that the reason is b'nei basar shel b'nei shinayim she'eino sar b'kinuach, because meat gets stuck between the teeth and you're not able to clean it out so easily when meat gets stuck between the teeth. So therefore, it takes 6 hours or something like 6 hours before you can have melechik. And by the way, the Rambam is very clear that this applies to chicken also. It always bothered me. Some of the poskim, you know, there's a minhag that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch that a woman on the day of tevila, when a woman's going to the mikveh, that she shouldn't eat meat the entire day. Because meat gets stuck between the teeth and it could be a chatzitza, and a woman is not allowed to have a chatzitza in her mouth when she goes to the mikveh, even though a woman does not have to open her mouth when she goes to the mikveh. She doesn't have to drown herself, but the inside of the mouth is a beis hastarim, and a beis hastarim cannot have a chatzitza in it. It doesn't require bias mayim, but there can't be any chatzitza in the beis hastarim, so she has to clean out her mouth. So there's a minhag in Shulchan Aruch not to eat meat the entire day that she's going to go to the mikvah. So if her Leil Tevila is Thursday night, already Thursday lunchtime, she shouldn't be eating meat. Or breakfast, if she was so inclined. She shouldn't be eating meat that entire day that she goes to the mikvah. So some of the poskim, some of our poskim, discussed that maybe there's room to be mekel if it's chicken. If it's chicken or turkey, basar of. So I always thought that was a little bit strange. Most of the poskim are machmir, even on chicken and turkey. And the reason they're machmir is that generally we don't distinguish really between beef and chicken, even though it's true. If you cook beef and milk, it's a nisa d'oraisa, whereas cooking chicken and milk is not a nisa d'oraisa, only a nisa d'rabbanan. But over here, the concern is basar shebein hashinayim. And over here, we find in Yeridaya that basar shebein hashinayim, in Hilchos basar b'chalav, that basar shebein hashinayim, the Rambam says, clearly applies to both meat and chicken. So if that's the concern, l'chora, for a woman going to the mikvah also. It comes up sometimes, oh, this Sunday, right? A woman has a Leil Tevila, is it this Sunday? Father's Day is this Sunday? I think so. A woman has a Leil Tevila, let's say, on Sunday night, but she's got to go to her parents' house for the Father's Day barbecue, because you got to have a Father's Day barbecue. That's when Dad gets to try on the new apron that says World's Best Dad, and he's got all his kalim out, and he's that's the gift they give him, is the close to barbecue for everybody. So the whole family's coming, everyone's there. So the barbecue is 5 o'clock. The mikveh doesn't open until 9:15 at night. It's June. So what's she supposed to do? What's she supposed to eat at the barbecue? So some suggest, okay, so let her have some chicken at the barbecue. I don't know. I'm not so convinced that that's a good idea. I don't think that that's mutter. Basar b'nei shinayim is a real problem. Certainly the corn on the cob is even worse, right? That gets more b'nei shinayim probably than anything else. But she probably, it's difficult. Have some salad and, push around some stuff on her plate. But that's difficult. I once had a shayla. I've mentioned this a lot of times, but I once had a shayla like eight years ago when Thanksgiving and Hanukkah coincided, where a woman had a Leil Tevila on Thanksgiving night, and it was also Hanukkah. She wanted to know, can she have turkey at her parents' Thanksgiving feast, especially since she loves turkey, and when they make turkey at Thanksgiving dinner every year, they bring it out specially for her, and they make a big like celebration about her turkey, that it's all just for her. So she said it would be very embarrassing if she doesn't have turkey. So there I thought there might be room to be mekel, because there are poskim that the Mishnah Berurah writes, that if a person has in mind that their su'uda, that they say Shirim v'Tishbach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it becomes a Sudas Mitzvah. And this minhag not to eat meat on the day of Tevila doesn't apply to a Sudas Mitzvah. Like, for example, if a woman goes to the mikvah Motzoi Shabbos, it's not a Sudas Mitzvah. So I mentioned in a shir recently that someone told me that it's going to happen again soon, that Hanukkah and Thanksgiving are going to coincide. So I got an email from somebody who said that unless soon means 70,000 years from now, then it will not happen again soon. I believe we're on schedule for 70,000 years from now that the Hanukkah and Thanksgiving will coincide again. But halavai, we sure will get there. But that's not going to happen anytime soon. So anyway, so this issue of Basar Ben Yishai, that's what the Rambam says, you should wait like 6 hours. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rambam says, you got to wait 6 hours. And the Rambam says, and Yesh Medaktikin to wait 6 hours, and V'chein Achol Nasos, so it's the right thing to do. The Shach has a funny lashon, he says, V'chein Achol Nasos, l'kol mi sheyesh bo Reach Torah, that anyone who has a Reach Torah should wait 6 hours. Now, what exactly does that mean, anyone who has a Reach Torah? Does that mean, like, it all depends on how you, what tone you read it in. Is it anyone who has even a shmek of Torah should wait 6 hours? Or no, someone who has a reyach haTorah, someone who's elevated with the sense of a reyach haTorah, meaning, are we talking about only special people or everybody? So the pashtus of the Shach is that everybody should wait 6 hours. Kaf HaChayim in Os Chav Ches understands that reyach haTorah is a maila yaseira l'talmidei chachamim v'tzadikim, but that regular people don't wait 6 hours, that it's only a maila yaseira for talmidei chachamim and tzadikim, a special chumra that they should take. But he writes, Nispashet HaMinag B'chol Glilos Ashkenaz, that we wait 6 hours. So that is the prevalent minag. It's just that, according to the Mechaber, it's Me'ikar Adin, and according to the Ramah, it's not Me'ikar Adin, it is the prevalent minag of what we do, but it's not Me'ikar Adin. What about waiting into the 6, 5 hours and a little bit? Where does that come from? So Shlomo Zalman in Kovitz, the Maria Journal, in page Ayin Tes, is quoted as being asked about this minug of not waiting the full 6 hours, the 5 and a little bit. And he writes, HaMinug Ulamten Sheisha'us Maleos, Aval Misha Mekel, someone who's Mekel to wait less than Sheisha'us, Efshol Lolachus Chamishos Umashu, Ki Kula Zos Nova'as Midivrei HaRambam. He says, because the kula comes from the Rambam. After all, the Rambam writes, Kimo, Sheisha'os. Kimo means something like, similar to. They say that Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal had that practice, to wait only into the 6th hour. Rav Pam's grandson told me that his grandfather said that the halacha is, that the Ikar Adin is, that you don't need to wait the full 6. But I've no other family member or Talmud of Rav Pam has corroborated that. One of Rav Pam's grandchildren told me that that's what he heard from his grandfather. Others have not corroborated that that's what Rav Pam in fact held. Yet Rav Vadya points out that, the simple explanation of the Rambam is that, why do you say Kamo Sheshos? Why not say 6 hours? So Rav Vadya points out they didn't have clocks. How would they know when it was exactly 6 hours? Everything was an estimate. They didn't have the ability to precisely measure 6 hours. They could measure a certain percentage of the day based on how long it is from sunrise to sunset. That sundials are very good at. But as far as measuring equal hours in the 24-hour day, that they didn't really have the capacity to do. So that's why it means, they had to estimate. What you estimate reasonably to be 6 hours, even if you don't know for sure that it's 6 hours, that must have been the halacha. Now, why is it important to wait between Feshik and Melchik? And maybe if you understand why, we'll be more equipped to answer our question. Why don't we do Shos Ma'anios? Because it's about Basar Ben Hashinayim, and it doesn't make sense that the meat would go away faster during the winter time than it would during the summertime, right? Meaning it seems that it would be the same. Now, why is it that we wait? So according to the Rambam, the reason that we wait is Basar Ben Hashinayim, like we said. Rashi, however, in Chulin Daf Kofei, he says that you wait because it takes a while to digest the meat, and the flavor can even come up from the stomach during that period of time. And that's it's quoted in the Taz, reason of Rashi. So there are a few nafkaminas between Rashi and the Rambam. For example, if you only chew on a piece of meat for a baby but don't swallow it, so according to the Rambam, you still need to wait because some of the meat might have gotten stuck in your teeth, and Basar Ben Hashinayim is the real concern. But according to Rashi, maybe you don't have to wait because you didn't ingest it. So maybe the taste is not as strong. It's not going to be coming up from your stomach for the next 6 hours. The Torah mentions it's nafkamina, but the Levush thinks that even according to Rashi, you would have to wait 6 hours, even for just chewing. The second nafkamina, if a person swallows the meat without chewing on it, only according to Rashi do you need to wait 6 hours. Because if you swallowed it without chewing on it, according to the Rambam, l'charish av no basar v'ne shenayim. Another nafkamina, if a person finds meat in his teeth after 6 hours and then he swallows it, he pulls some meat out of his tooth and then, you know, swallows it. So according to the Rambam, you don't need to wait 6 hours because the meat in your tooth is considered to be digested after 6 hours, right? The Rambam doesn't think the meat disappears from between your teeth after 6 hours. It's just that it gets broken down enough that it's no longer meat. Time passing doesn't really solve the problem. The time passing would solve the problem of basar v'ne shenayim because it loses the status of meat after a certain amount of time. According to Rashi, though, no matter how much time passes, it's still considered meat. We try to be machmir according to both Rashi and the Rambam. Let's say you just put gravy in your mouth and you spit it out. So then you wouldn't be fleishig because neither reason applies. It's not bein hashinayim because it's not meat, it's just gravy. And you spit it out, so you don't have Rashi's concern. However, the Pesachei Teshuva quotes from the Prima Gadim to be machmir even in that case. But there are many who are makel in such a case. Those are some of the nafkaminas. Now, are there any exceptions to this rule? And this is where we get to our shaila. When don't you have to wait the full 6 hours between fleishigs and milk? Because Ramesh has a tshuva, Nigus Moshe Yardeche, Beisim Chavav, where he says, Lechol gvina achar vitamins shall kaved. If let's say you have vitamins that are made out of liver, liver is meat. So Ramesh says, Ein makom lochush klal. You don't have anything to worry about, but kol shkin shemutu levloa samachar gvina afkasha v'gam below kinoach v'adachas piv. And he says, certainly you can take vitamins after you ate even hard cheese. Someone swallows vitamins that are made with kosher meat. If they're made with non-kosher meat, that's a different discussion. You don't need to wait 6 hours. And he says that because neither Rashi nor the Rambam apply. You're swallowing the vitamins and in vitamin form. Vitamins don't need to, don't secrete any taste of meat. The Badei HaShulchan quotes another nafkamina based on a Prima Gadim, quoted by the Darkei Tshuva, that if you taste meat with your tongue and you spit it out, like we said before, you don't need to, another exception, that if you taste meat with your tongue and then you taste gravy with your tongue and then you spit it out, there's no need to wait, because neither reason applies. It's not going to be Bein HaShinayim. You taste it, even if it was meat, but you just taste it with your tongue, you just put your tongue on the meat, you didn't actually chew on it, so there's no concern of Bein HaShinayim. There's no concern that it gets down in your stomach because you spit it out right away, and therefore that will be an exception to the rule. A third exception to the rule, Rav Sternbach quotes in the Tshuvas Van Hagos in Siman Tav Lamed Aleph from a Chassidish Rebbe. He says, "V'sefer v'yas Avram." Maybe he quotes from Rav Rami Chechanov Zatzal that the Shir Shei Shaos is only as far as digestion is concerned, and digestion speeds up overnight. So if a person goes to sleep, he doesn't need to wait the full 6 hours. Because as a person is sleeping, the digestive process happens much more quickly. So since you need to wait 6 hours for the meat to fully digest in your stomach, and when you sleep, the food digests more quickly, so you don't need to wait the full 6 hours. I had a chavrusa in yeshiva that used to still be fleishigs by morning seder. He'd come into morning seder and he'd have a coffee. He'd have to have non-dairy creamer because he was still fleishigs from the night before. That is, at my age, we refer to that as disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting that a person's eating fleishigs so late at night. But, you know, it was a dorm life. It was a bachur life. So that's the way he came on time to morning seder and he was still fleishigs. So, it's interesting that Sternbach writes that once the Chasam Sofer slept a little bit and he wanted to have a coffee and he put some milk in his coffee, and Sternbach writes that his coffee spilled. And he saw it as a siman min hashamayim when his coffee spilled that he shouldn't rely on this kula of sleeping, speeding up the digestive process. I don't know when we're supposed to assume that things are a siman min hashamayim. You know, they say the maisa with the brisker rav that he was being masadar kiddushin and the chasim dropped the ring, and then he picked up the ring again and he was about to harem again, and he dropped the ring again. And so then he picked it up again, and someone said to the brisker, and he did the kiddushin properly, or before he did the kiddushin, he said, "Is this a siman for something that I keep dropping the ring?" So the brisker said, "Yeah, it's a siman that wasn't the right moment for kiddushin. Now is the right moment for kiddushin. So you should do the kiddushin right now, at this moment." So like, when do you take something as a siman or not? I think in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shachta has a story that Rav Soloveitchik once was having a coffee, and he spilled his coffee all over his pants, all over his suit, and he had to change his suit, and his shamish heard him muttering to himself, "It's your fault, Beryl, it's your fault, it's your fault." Like, and the shamish said, "Well, Rebbe, why are you being so hard on yourself? You know, these things happen." He said, "No, I have a Shabbos suit here and I have a weekday suit. And I woke up in the morning, I was a little disoriented, it was dark, and I accidentally put on my Shabbos suit. And I was too lazy to change out of the Shabbos suit. I was wearing a Shabbos suit, I was too lazy to change out of it. I figured once I'm wearing it, I'll just wear it. So Min HaShemayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam made sure that I'm not going to wear my big day Shabbos during the week, that he took it as a Siman Min HaShemayim." But all of this brings us to the fourth exception. And this is the one that I believe relates to our situation. If a person is a chola and the doctors tell him that he has to drink milk, so it could be that the poskim write that he can, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he can rely on the shita that you only need to wait 1 hour, even if he's a chola she'ein bo sakana. And he says v'chein nagu harbe. It used to be believed that a person suffers from an ulcer that he needs to drink milk to calm his ulcer. I believe that is no longer believed to be true, but that was believed to be true for a long time. So people with an ulcer with such a condition used to drink milk after an hour, and that was perfectly fine, says the Aruch HaShulchan. And Kav Chaim writes that Chen Iskima Kol HaPoskim, that if doctors told him that he has an ulcer, that he should drink milk. In Yalkut Yosef, he says that someone who's sick or pregnant or nursing doesn't need to wait the full 6 hours, and that 1 hour is enough. Now that's a little bit more surprising, because remember, there's a difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. For Sfardim, the idea of waiting 6 hours is la halacha. For Ashkenazim, it's a minhag, right? Because the Ramah really paskens meikra, then you only need to wait 1 hour. But the Ramah says our minhag is to be more machmir. Okay, so for a minhag, we're willing to be meikil when it's a case of a chola. But for Sfardim, it's a halacha, it's a din, midrabanan. But apparently, it's a far-fetched enough drabanan. It's so far removed from the daraisa. The daraisa is only if you have meat and milk that was mamish cooked together. This is not only not cooked together, it's not even being eaten together. It's not only not even being eaten together, it's more than an hour later. So apparently, plus there are many shittos and rishonim, even Sfardim acknowledge there are many shittos and rishonim that hold that you don't need to wait the 6 hours. So l'tzorech hachala, it would be mutter. So it's important to recognize that a baby who drinks from a bottle, we're talking about a young child, has a status of a chola she'en bo sakana. And certainly, if that's the only milk bottle that the woman has, that's the only milk that the baby's going to be able to have that day, we view that as at least a chola she'en bo sakana. And therefore, l'tzorech, a chola she'en bo sakana, I think it would be perfectly permissible. I'm assuming it's more than an hour since the woman ate her fleshig lunch. I shouldn't assume, we should ask. If it's more than an hour after she ate her fleshig lunch, I would assume that it's mutter. Maybe one could even argue that if it's less than an hour and she only had chicken and not meat for lunch, that would be enough. But it's a very far removed drabanan, meaning it's a drabanan that's very far removed from the daraisa. So I thought in this case that it would be mutter for her to taste the milk in order that she should be able to have what to give her baby. And again, as far as bathing in wine, just don't do it until we talk again so we can figure out whether you're allowed to bathe in wine. Stop, it seems like a silly thing to do. I did read that when in doing the research on the bathing in the wine, that Amari Stoudemire credits his longevity in his career to having bathed in wine. So, Akasha. All right, Nunu, have a great day, everybody, and have a wonderful Shabbos. And thank you for coming.
Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.